It is indeed time for All Things Gardening. I'm the producer, Mary Engish, and Charlie Nardozzi is here. Hi, Charlie.
Hi, Mary.
Spring is in the air. We're not going to sing, but spring is indeed in the air. Weather feels warmer. The temperatures are warmer. Bulbs are starting to do their bulbing. What can you tell us about how to care for flowering bulbs?
The bulbs are just right on schedule. They're popping right out of the earth, and it's time to do a little care for them. So if your bulbs are just starting to come up, your crocuses, your tulips, your daffodils, and they're still pretty small, now is the time to fertilize them. So get some granular 555 organic fertilizer, something like that. Sprinkle it around those areas where you see them popping up. Or, of course, you can use a bulb booster if you want. But now is the time to do it. Don't wait till they get up really big or even get to the place of almost flowering, because then it's not going to be very useful. Either in the fall or late winter, early spring are the time to fertilize your bulbs. The other thing that's going on with bulbs, of course, is other people are pretty hungry, like the deer and the rabbits. So we need to do something to protect the bulbs, especially crocuses, tulips, and hyacinths, which they really love. So I have one tip that I got from the Brooklyn Botanic Garden, which is kind of interesting. I was there once early spring, and I noticed that they took bird netting or deer netting, those black plastic netting, and they put it around the beds where all their bulbs were. So they put it pretty thick, you know, like maybe 4 feet wide, all around those beds. And they left it very loose. And what they said is what happens is when deer or rabbits come and they want to walk onto the beds, they have to walk across the netting, and they don't like that feeling on their feet. It gets kind of caught in their hooves, and they just don't like it. So they avoid going to that bed. If you really want to be safe, though, I would use a repellent spray. So plant skid or deer off or any of those animal repellent sprays work well. The key, though, with bulbs is to reapply it regularly. Literally, you might have to do it every few days or so if we get a warm spell and the bulbs are growing fast, because any new growth that comes out is not going to be protected. So you have to keep protecting those bulbs right up until flowering.
I can't wait for the tulips and the daffodils. Paul in West Paulet has this question for you, Charlie. 2 and 3 years ago, there was a push for no mow May. Last year, they said to skip it. Now this year, there seems to be another groundswell movement to bring it back. I'm confused. Can you help Paul with his question about whether to do no mow May?
Certainly. I would say don't do it, Paul. And my reasoning is that we've seen people do no mow May, meaning you literally don't mow your lawn until after May so that all those wildflowers and weeds come up and flower, and it's great for the pollinators. Perfect idea. But what happens is people then mow their lawns the end of May, and then all that food is gone for the pollinators. I would rather see you, Paul, take a spot of your property. It could be a little side yard, a little backyard area, whatever, and let it go natural. You can just either let it grow up and just let whatever plants come up, wildflowers come in there, or even seed in some wildflowers that would be good for pollinators, and leave that for them, and then mow your lawn the regular way.
JD in Gardner, Massachusetts writes, "Hey, I just listened to the asparagus question from Essex on an episode of All Things Gardening. Does it matter the direction that you put your asparagus troughs in?"
Technically, it'd probably be best to do it north-south, so you can get the sun, of course, east-west going across the sky. But it really kind of depends mostly on where's the full sun and what works in your garden. If you did it east-west, I think you're still going to get asparagus.
And Charlie, Sandra in Montpelier writes, "I have a lawn that's about 2,000 square feet, and I'm thinking about replacing it with wildflowers or a cover crop to, one, avoid mowing it, and two, to create a habitat for wildlife." But Sandra writes, "I don't want to create habitat for ticks." What advice could you give Sandra?
What I would suggest is doing something we call a bee lawn. And these are lawns that are a little higher than the regular lawns, but you can add a lot of different flowers in them that will flower at a low height. So if you have an area that's, say, not very good for lawn, you want to till it up, go ahead and do that this spring. I would sow in some fescue seed, creeping fescue seed, and then a mix of white clover, prunella, or helolol, and creeping thyme. That's what's usually recommended. University of Minnesota has a great website about it, and UVM has some information as well. You can mow it at 4 inches or so high, and you'll still get the flowering. It'll still be like a lawn. Now, as far as the ticks go, there was some research in Massachusetts recently that looked at lawns that were mowed at a low height versus ones that were mowed higher, 4, 6 inches high, and they didn't find a significant difference in the number of ticks there. So you might be able to get away with having a little bit higher lawn without ticks in your yard.
Find this program and past episodes on your preferred podcast app or at VermontPublic.org, and send gardening questions to gardening@vermontpublic.org. Thanks, Charlie.
You're welcome, Mary, and I'll be seeing you in the garden.